We are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if only we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to A Catholic Conversation. My name is Deacon John Catalano, and I am with my very good friend, Frank Alasia, the legendary basketball player from St. John's University. Frank, my man, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How's everything with you, Deacon?
I think it's okay. We're tackling a challenging topic tonight. Why do we suffer? I mean, why do we all seem to have to go through these trials and difficulties in our lives unexpectedly, without preparation? So just to start us off, I'll tell you a little bit about a brief story of mine. When Josephine and I met in New York City, we got married, we moved to Pelham, we started our family. I had a good job, we had three beautiful children, and things were rolling nicely in Pelham. And I believe we were aware that we were blessed by God. But just less than 2 years after the birth of Joseph, our third child, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer at the age of 47. Now, everyone that's been diagnosed knows the feeling. The blood leaves your face, panic sets in. So we went through all the tests and the preparation and had the surgery about 6 weeks later and came out with an uncertain prognosis. Now, just a few days after I got out of the hospital, I was told that I was going to be losing my job. Startup internet business that I had joined was going to collapse. So now I have cancer and I'm unemployed. But wait, there's a glimmer of hope. A colleague tells me that there's a new company opening in New York, and if I fly to LA for an interview, I might be able to save it. So with a scar on my belly, I flew out there and put on a suit and presented myself to the receptionist. Now it's like Thursday afternoon, about 5 o'clock. So 8 o'clock my time. I am weak, I'm pale, and I'm worried, but I'm praying to Jesus and to Mary and to Joseph. I'm praying desperately right now. So finally, after a long wait, the receptionist comes out and says, "Mr. Shelton, we'll see you now." And as I get up to follow her, I wet my diaper. It wasn't obvious to anyone, but it was humiliating and it felt awful. And as I'm following her down this long hallway, I remember saying to Jesus, "Is this where you're going to leave me? Upside down in a ditch by the side of the road? Abandoned?" Well, I go in, I power through the interview, I head back to the hotel. I'm exhausted, but I'm hopeful. Next morning, I get a call from the guy who facilitated the meeting, and he said, "Unfortunately, the guy that you interviewed with liked you, but he just announced that he was leaving, so we're dead here." So I fly home to New York in a cab, get a cab and head home, and my family's asleep, my wife's asleep. I get into bed, I look at the cross, and in that dark, worried, sort of desperate moment, I heard three words: "Don't be afraid." That's it. It calmed me. I somehow felt deep down reassured, and I fell asleep. So I went from there, Frank. I mean, I had to put one foot in front of the other, and I had an experience that I had to deal with.
Right. I think everyone can relate to your story because, you know, we've all had pain and suffering in our life. And if you haven't, believe me, it's going to come. And you have to be prepared for it. But what I want people to understand about your story is that you cried out to God at your lowest moment, your lowest point. Because up until that moment, think about it, and this is how a lot of people's lives go, right? Everything was going pretty well, right? Everything was going along great. And there was no need for God. And that's the story of many people today, right?
Well, for me, what happened was as the weeks and months went on, I was getting blood tests looking for a job, and I was whispering to God, "What do you mean, don't be afraid? I got a problem here. I have cancer and I have no job." But, you know, I kept going, and one day I turned to my wife and I said, "Hey, you know what? I don't have cancer and I have a job." And this realization, and I thought back to that prayer, that lament, that cry out to God. And when I said to him, I realized, "Are you going to abandon me?" I said to him, and I came to realize that the answer is, "I will never abandon you. I am with you always." And if he says that to me in my desperation, then I'm going to say to him, "Well, I'll never abandon you then, Lord."
Correct. And suffering is God's way of getting our attention. And I look, I know it's a mystery to some extent. I understand that, because some suffering is really hard to bear. And you hear stories about people that are just really difficult. But just like a coach who gets you in shape, you know, and I always think back to these kind of stories. When I was getting ready for a season at St. Agnes under Coach Morris or at St. John's under Lou Conosecca, I worked out constantly. And as the season got closer, it got more intense, and you worked and worked and worked. But never was I in good enough shape for when I got there. They always, when somebody else pushes you, it's amazing how much more you can give.
But you're talking about motivation or getting your attention. I mean, God gets your attention when he lays an illness on you suddenly.
Exactly.
But what we learn is that you begin to learn that because you can't project too far out in the future. You may be leaving soon, but we learn that every day is a gift, and every person in your life is to be cherished and appreciated. And that's not, you don't learn that in day one. It took me, you know, weeks and months to say, wait, all I have is today. And I'm sitting here with my beautiful wife, and I have, you know, and I'm on the phone with a friend. Whatever is going on is the best thing in the world, because you're beginning to cherish it.
Right. Think of this story. I mean, when you think of a child getting stitches, and I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but when your child is in your arms and they're getting stitched and they're looking up at you as if to say, why are you letting this man do this to me? They don't understand. And I think that's a good analogy. When we suffer, we don't understand that plan that God has for us. But you said, like, the one thing that you said, like prayer got to be it's the first resort. Too many people look at, like, everybody's heard it said, you know, oh, I guess all we can do now is pray. All we can do is pray. That's all you should be doing. And that should be your first option. You know, the secular world will tell you, well, you just have to work things out or stuff like that. But it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of turning to God, because when this does happen to you, you can go one of two ways, right? I mean, you know, you either go with God or you're cursing God, right?
Yeah, all this. I mean, you know, the realization that this Jesus, who suffered for us and died, now offers us his peace. And the peace of the risen Christ comes after the suffering. It's the eternal peace that lasts forever. And if we can tap into that by accompanying him to the cross and taking up our cross and following him, somehow we can make it through it all. I just would say to people, if you're suffering now, remember two things. You're not alone. But right. You are drawing closer to God, because as Frank says, now's the time to increase your dialogue and your petition to him who loves us and saves us.
Right. Talk about redemptive suffering. Like how you can offer your suffering up for someone in purgatory, or from someone who may be going to commit a serious sin. Right. Maybe somebody's going to have an abortion, or, you know, the euthanasia thing right now is another big topic. But how can our suffering help?
You're saying that suffering could be offered up as a petition to the Lord for someone else's, what, sinfulness or illness?
Yes, yes. And also to help someone get out of purgatory, especially people who don't have anyone to pray for them. But the other thing I'd remind people, what does Jesus know about our suffering? God answers that by becoming man, bearing grief for us, bearing grief with us, and Jesus bore grief like us. So you're not alone in your suffering. Once again, Jesus is always with you, and never give up, and always trust. And I'd say go that way rather than the other way, because that's not the way.
On the cross, he says, it is finished. He's accomplished this for us already. He's already done it. And all we need to do is follow him. Love talking about this, Frank. If you wish to comment on this topic, you can email us now at anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. That's anycatholicconversation@gmail.com. And we'd love to hear from you. We'll respond to you. I'll talk to you next time, Frank. Love you a lot. Talk to you.
Thanks, Deke. God bless.